Streaming sponsored by the Madison Concourse Hotel.
Celebrate New Year's Eve at the Madison Concourse Hotel and Governor's Club. Enjoy live jazz, a surf and turf dinner, comedians, disco with BO5, classic country, a DJ dance party, and a ballroom brunch to start 2025 off right. Details at concoursehotel.com.
Brave the rain, security is tight.
The NYPD expanding the area blocked off this year in wake of the ISIS-inspired machete attack at a police checkpoint 2 years ago. Drones, bomb-sniffing dogs, and officers in plain clothes will be deployed. The police commissioner is promising a massive presence following the recent attack at a Christmas market in Germany.
ABC's Lionel Moyes. Official New Year's Eve celebrations have been canceled across South Korea, that nation launching safety inspections on Boeing 737-800 planes after Sunday's crash killed 179 people. A state funeral for former President Jimmy Carter will be held at the Washington National Cathedral on January 9th after he lies in state at the U.S. Capitol. But first, mourners in Georgia will have a chance to pay respects this weekend at a viewing at Carter's Presidential Library. This is ABC News. He's known as the Gone Girl kidnapper, and now he's facing new charges. ABC's Andrew Dimbert.
Matthew Mueller gained national attention in 2015 after kidnapping a California woman, Denise Huskins. Police initially suspected Huskins' then-boyfriend of murdering her. But when she turned up 2 days later, police accused the couple of making up the whole story, fueling suggestions it was like the book and movie Gone Girl. But investigators said Mueller had broken into their home, drugged and tied them up before kidnapping and sexually assaulting Huskins. Mueller pleaded guilty and was sentenced to 40 years in prison. Now the district attorney says Mueller committed similar home invasions 6 years before kidnapping Huskins.
The CDC now says cases of the flu, cold, RSV, all running high across the country and could rise even more over the next few weeks. And an 8-year divorce saga is finally over. Lawyers for Angelina Jolie say she and Brad Pitt have signed their divorce settlement, custody of 6 kids. At the center of the fight, 4 of those kids now adults. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The John and Gordy Show.
Well, Bob Woodward, you know, ever since All the President's Men, along with Carl Bernstein, they basically blew the cover off of the Watergate scandal.
That's right, with Deep Throat.
And that's a great movie, by the way.
Deep Throat? I saw that.
No, I meant All the President's Men, but thank you for that.
All right. Linda Lovelace was a great performer.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Marquette basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. The Marquette Golden Eagles are on the road in Rhode Island tonight to take on the Providence Friars. Marquette now 11-2 for the season. Head coach Shaka Smart on being ranked 8th in the nation again this week.
In sports, it comes down to what color you're wearing, you know, and which side you're on and which perspective you have. You know, what I tell our guys is we're going to control the controllables, and it doesn't change regardless of the results out there.
NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks in Chicago against the Bulls. A recap on those games coming up later tonight. NFL, the Packers reviewing the tape of their 27-25 loss to the Vikings Sunday. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
I thought there was a lot of things within our own control in terms of playing with fundamentals and discipline that we did not do a very good job of, and that was disappointing. It just was sloppy football.
As Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. People seem to notice the variety of well-reviewed films playing at the box office currently and headed to the big screen over the weekend. Sonic the Hedgehog Part 3 took the top spot at the gate with $38 million and is currently at $137 million in its first 2 weeks in theaters. The Lion King's Mufasa took a close second place with $37 million in change in its second week and is showing some good word of mouth as it is actually outperforming its haul from last week. People also wanted a little horror over their holiday as newcomer Nosferatu, which opened on on Christmas Day, surprised prognosticators by pulling in $40 million over 5 days and $21 million over the weekend. Wicked and Moana 2 rounded out the top five, with Wicked pulling in $19.5 million and Moana 2 pulling in just over $18 million. Also opening on Christmas Day was the new Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown, which pulled in $23 million over 5 days and finished in sixth place last weekend with $11.6 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be cloudy with a few scattered light snow showers possible here today. Our high in the low 30s with wind out of the northwest at around 10 to 20. Tonight, we're going to drop down into the upper teens. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high of 22. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we run through some of our favorite This Shouldn't Be a Things. Also, we talk the wonderful world of weddings coming up. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. A new choice. Madison's real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't believe in sex after marriage, Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back. Pardon me. Great to have you with me on this Monday night edition. It's the eve of New Year's Eve, ladies and gentlemen, and so fun to have you here. Our question tonight is, what is your New Year's resolution? Very simple. We've gotten some great answers, but maybe if you've already changed yours too, that's fine too. If you've already texted the show and within the last hour decided, forget that, I'm going to try to put on weight, that's fine too. Bill Gorgo will be here in just a few minutes. We'll talk about New Year's Eve in Port Washington. From a stand-up comedy standpoint. And then tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, we do a one-hour show where we're just going to play some clips of me on other Civic Media shows with your favorite Civic Media hosts, because we have a shortened time slot, because Lou Regani will be here at 7 o'clock tomorrow night helping you ring in the new year with some great crooner classics. I assume, have you ever listened to Lou's show, Conrad?
Yeah, a little bit. And fantastic. It's some great music.
Great music. And then on New Year's Day, we won't be here either, but we put together a special bar band Friday night compilation reel for your enjoyment. January 1st, Terry Barr will be here. She brings us new music every week, and we will put together a best of for that on January 1st. So right now, we have a few more minutes with comedian John Egan. He comes to us. Pardon me. John, I'm just getting over something.
And I keep slapping you. That's why he's coughing. I just keep slapping him every time.
What is happening? I might need the Heimlich maneuver. Do you know CPR?
Not one, and I should. I really should for the kids, because we give them grapes, so I really should know that. That's one of my worst fears.
I'm not trying to scare you.
Yeah.
But I was in a middle school about 5 years ago, and a kid choked on a grape.
Yeah.
And this guy, David Kleets, I'll say his name on the air, he's a hero. He's like 80 years old, Vietnam vet, great guy. And maybe 5'7 at the most, 120 pounds, comes up behind this big kid and gives him the Heimlich maneuver.
Yeah.
One poke or pull, whatever it is, and the grape went flying. He saved the kid's life.
That's great.
And I'm with you. I'm like, my kids are older now, but I'm like, I think I was last certified for CPR like in 93 before I even had kids. Well,
I'm sure I can pull. I don't know. Yeah, I'm afraid I'm going to hurt their little bodies or something if I did something.
Yeah, I could see that. But like, you got to know when you have kids. Like, okay, I could save some sap in a restaurant who's not keeping his mouth closed when he chews, but I can't save my own kids.
Yeah, great. That'll be the rest of my night.
Hey, just that sounds like a great New Year's resolution. Yeah.
We're here to CPR help. For grapes.
John, we talked about a little bit before the break. Is it living in Northeast Wisconsin and doing stand-up comedy, is that convenient? Have you made it convenient because you have a diameter of places you'll go, or how does that work out for you?
I think, it was, for me, it is more just like about family. My wife's family is from Marinette, actually.
Yeah.
And so they're all in this kind of area and for them. And so it's like an hour to them, 2 hours to where I grew up. And so I'm from Milwaukee. And so I guess it's convenient. I mean, I'm a big city person. I definitely am. Would I prefer to be in Milwaukee? Absolutely. But this has kind of been my home, my friends, cost of living. My goodness, my home would be in Milwaukee.
Yeah,
is very small compared to what I can get up here. And that's the thing is you always take for granted too that, you know, we have Lambeau Field like 10 minutes away. That like literally every week, that is someone's dream or bucket list is to be here.
Yeah.
And see that, and it's something we see every day. So it's like, it's one of those things. It's a balancing act where it is nice where, like, the northern gigs, hey, it's a lot easier to get to that.
Right.
And then it's a straight shot to Minnesota for 4 hours, two to Milwaukee, three to Chicago. So that's, it's a kind of a hub of all these places that you can kind of go to.
Well said. That's great. It is funny. It's like wherever you get your kids into school,
yeah,
that's when things are a place I think starts to feel like home. It's like, okay, this is my home. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's weird because I've been here since I've been 18. So that's more than my home.
Yeah.
So like where I grew up. So like this is technically the most, like I've been in a Green Bay person more of my life, which is weird.
In your bio, it says other comics refer to you as very relatable and club owners. Does that come naturally or do you have to work to find connections with audiences or is it just something you have a kind of an everyman's mentality?
I think, it was just always one of those things where I felt like I could, you know, everyone has the same issues and it's just like they want to hear it. So like, that's what I've learned about comedy too, is that when you see someone bombing, usually it's when they're punching down or they're not, when they're making fun of other people and not themselves, because people will laugh at that. If you're making fun of yourself, they want to hear that. They want to hear you tearing yourself down about something relatable so they feel like they can laugh. It's like, oh, well, if he's laughing at himself, I can too. Like that's the kind of thing that can pop up. It's like, it's always about being like talking about yourself that other people can relate to.
Very well said. You have this cool side hustle that I alluded to, and it's not even a side hustle. It's like an actual working website. I don't know how you keep everything updated, but tell us about your Wisconsin sports website.
For me, I've written some different ones, but like for me, I keep it up mostly on like social media. So like Twitter/X has been like my biggest like group of followers for me, where I can, you know, start right. I've written for Packers for a Vikings website used to pay me to write about the Packers. They had a whole Packers section.
Oh, wow.
So I used to do that. I've written a couple ones for like three different brewer sites. And so it kind of just stems off from there. But I've gotten a lot of stuff just from, you know, like X Twitter, basically. I was pretending to be a Raptor for like 3 years.
Is that where the name Brewer Raptor comes from?
So basically, there was a pitcher for the Brewers called Brent Suter, and his nickname was the Raptor because he would like pretend to be a Raptor in like spring training. And so when I joined Twitter originally for just focus on sports, I was originally Mike Moustakas, who was on the Brewers. He was a third baseman. So I was Mike Moustakas' actual moose, which is his nickname. And it was just a picture of a moose with a terrible Brewers hat.
I remember that, yeah.
And then I switched over to Brent because he was the Raptor. So I was Brent Suter's actual Raptor. And so, like, that's why I say, if you can pretend to be yourself or a dinosaur, it's way easier to be a dinosaur. It's a lot more fun. But that's how I kind of started getting that and, like, making connections. You know, I started a Brewers podcast. So I ended up throwing out a first pitch because of all that. Like, so it's brought a lot of good stuff for me.
So when you write these blogs or for about the Packers, whether it's for another team or just for your own website, do you try to make them funny? Do you bring humor to them or is it more actual reporting?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I've done some serious articles before, but for me, it's way better just to write with my own voice. Yeah. Like that's where I'm coming from, to add humor into it, to see something I'm seeing. And, you know, outrage is so easy too. Oh man, I haven't sold my soul yet, but it's really easy to just write something that, you know, like in 2023, right before Yelich like did really well again for the Brewers, I was at a game and people were literally threatening him. Like from the stands, like because he was not playing well. And like
Brewer fans?
Yeah. And just for me to just be like a guy had to be escorted out because he would not stop. Like he was standing the entire game on the first baseline near the dugout, like kept threatening Christian Yelich just over and over.
Gosh.
And I had in my article, I was just like, can we please calm down? And that is very controversial to tell someone how to fan. or if to tell people that the fans at Lambeau cannot be great. Oh, they don't like hearing that either here. They don't like hearing it. They get a lot
of hate. But that's like crazy that you would see. I have no problem with that because the guy, and they'll say, well, I'm paying my money, but you can't be a jerk. You can't, you know, first of all, Yelich could probably kick your ass.
Yeah. And even that, you can boo, you can don't like him online, but it just becomes this thing of like, it's always something to complain about. you can't, people are never happy. It's a, right. Like, there's a meme we always post. It's like, oh, my favorite baseball team won today. I must find something to complain about still.
What, you got to throw the first pitch out at a Brewer game.
Yes.
Talk about that. That must have been pretty cool.
Yeah. So what happened is they had the super fan contest this year. It was the first time they ever did. And so basically they, you wrote in an essay. Well, someone had to do it for you about why you're such a super fan. And, I kept asking my wife to, and then she wouldn't, she kept forgetting. So my mom did. And so, I got to do it. It was really fun. It's like a bucket list item. It really was. My whole life, I was like, I'm going to do something super important one day and throw out the first pitch. And then I took a shortcut.
It's either that or stop world hunger.
Take a shortcut to what your life goal is. And so, yeah, it was fun. I was on there with the guy from St. Norbert's, the teacher, the Jeopardy guy, Ben Chan.
He's been on the show. Yeah, Ben's great.
He was super fun. And then, so you like, you get up there and like, it's funny because they give you, I got a little swag bag. My friends were there and all that stuff. And I was practicing. I played baseball my whole life.
Yeah.
I actually did the Brent Suter move because Brent actually had a famous like wind up. He like put his back foot, lifted in one leg and did in one motion. And so I actually did it from the mound. You could pick where you did it. And I did it from the top of the mound. I didn't go in front of it like a lot of people do because you didn't want to spike it because you don't. That's embarrassing. You don't want to spike the ball. I mean, you could do the 50 cent. Have you seen the 50 cent first pitch?
Oh, what happened?
Where he goes completely 90 degrees. Right. Do that. You can go really far like Pat Connington did where he threw it in the nets. And so I got cute. I did the Brent Suter thing. I looked at Quinton Berry, which is the Brewers' first base coach. He's laughing because he knows what I'm doing.
Right.
And I spiked it.
Oh!
Spiked my first pitch.
Straight down.
No, well, it hit the dirt right, like off the grass by there, but it didn't get there. And I was so 42,000 people awing. I got so many notifications, still get crap from my
family. Never give up. Yeah.
No.
But how do you, so many people do that. You just don't ever use that muscle.
Right. Yeah. But I should have done it. I got cute. I should have just thrown it as hard as I could. It was fat. Like I thought I was going to do something, but here's the thing. The Brewers lost 15-1 that game. All right. And then they do position pitchers when they're up that by losing that much. So Owen Miller, the first baseman at the time, was a position player. So he was first baseman. So he got to pitch and six pitches in, he spiked it. Oh so I'm the same. Gosh. I'm the same as a Brewers pitcher.
Okay, so you could have gone pro. That's what I'm.
That's absolutely a couple of decisions.
Good way to look at it. All right. So what is your favorite sport on your website to write about or cover?
It's baseball. I mean, that's my first love. What I decided to do was go all in on sports, and what I decided to do is pick the smallest market team in America. So it's harder to get followers and people to pay attention. I should have gone Packers because it's worldwide. Packer fans
worldwide
are everywhere. There's a bar in every city. But Brewers is such a small market. But I mean, I love the people that I know and that I've got to know. But it's fun. It's baseball's my first love.
So how far will the Packers go this year in the playoffs?
I don't know. One round. It's just I get so excited every year and because you don't know when that run's going to happen. I mean, it's going to be hard to top last year because nobody saw that Cowboys game coming. I mean, they were on a run. Jordan was unstoppable that last part of the season. But I think they can beat the Eagles, but can they beat the Vikings? Can they beat the
Beat the Eagles with Jalen Hurts playing?
Yeah, I think they can. I think if they show up, I mean, if they're healthy.
Right.
Like that Minnesota game, they weren't healthy. They are not playing.
They seem like they could beat anybody if they put a good game together. Like,
oh, they love beating themselves. They love beating themselves, offsides, all these other things.
Well, you're talking to a guy whose team has not been good in 30 years. So I don't have much sympathy for Packer fans.
Well, you know what? We just want two more titles. That's all we want in 10 years. That's all we need.
That's not too much to ask for. Can you stick around for a couple more minutes? I want to ask you what you're watching. And then we will get to Bill Gorgo, who's going to tell us what it's like to spend New Year's Eve in Port Washington. You could do a lot worse. This is Peach Wabbit and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. That's what you get.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' three locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road. Plus, igniteglassandgifts.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Facing an energy crisis, high inflation, and rising unemployment, President Jimmy Carter addressed the nation in his Crisis of Confidence speech on July 15, 1979.
The erosion of our confidence in the future is threatening to destroy the social and the political fabric of America. The confidence that we have always had as a people is not simply some romantic dream or a proverb in a dusty book that we read just on the 4th of July. It is the idea which founded our nation and has guided our development as a people. Confidence in the future has supported everything else. Public institutions and private enterprise, our own families and the very Constitution of the United States. Confidence has defined our course and has served as a link between generations. We've always believed in something called progress. We've always had a faith that the days of our children would be better than our own. Our people are losing that faith, not only in government itself, but in the ability as citizens to serve as the ultimate rulers and shapers of our democracy.
We've linked the full speech at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Checking in on the stream, Craig Knitt, who's been on this show before. He is a friend of the show, a couch potato, if you will. John knows Craig. You guys you go way back, right?
Yes, Comedy City forever. He's been there. Great. Always so fun cool. performing.
His New Year's resolution is to get more movies made. Easier said than done, but I love the enthusiasm, Craig. Thank you. And Craig says, note on John. I've had such a great time watching John progress through the ranks as a beginner all the way up to being a headline comedian. I think with all the comedians that are attached to Nightlight, a comedy show could pop up somewhere.
Wow. Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
We got a venue? We could use the studio. Yeah. Conrad, we could probably put together a,
oh, yeah.
build a little stage in here.
Once every 3 months, yeah, do the comics of, yeah, Nightlight.
We're not going to try to do the full-time thing, wait. What? I've learned. Well, no. full-time club.
No, oh, no, no. Yeah. You just do every 3 months? You promote it on the radio? Yeah.
Would you be part of it?
Of course. I'll help book it. I don't care. No, I'll do it.
I don't want anything to do with it.
I love it.
You guys should do it.
No.
All right. We're moments away from bringing Bill Gorgo, another very funny guy, onto the show. But I want to ask you, what are you watching, John? We talk about TV and movies a lot. What do you have a binge watch, something you're watching that you could recommend? Have you seen any of the holiday films?
We just finished No Good Deed, that new show on Netflix with Ray Romano and Lisa Kudrow.
Oh, okay.
That was fun. That was a decent time. My kid likes the Venom movies, and this is going to shock you. He cried during the last Venom movie because there's other Venom creatures, symbiotes, and there's like these creatures in it that like will eat them, and like they eat a couple of them, and he lost his mind. He's like, no, the symbiotes, why did they do that? I was like, I realized that was his first big like monster movie, monster coming to attack. Like he's never watched like Godzilla or like, you know, those big, big monster movies. So that was his first one to like get into the genre. And it was just so funny to see.
The rite of passage.
So upset, like to care about the Venom, The Last Dance that no one cared about. Or
something. How old is he?
He's 8 and a half. So he's getting there. Like where I'm trying to force movies on him because I was a huge movie guy. Like 6 years old, I was watching Predator, Terminator. I was all in. So like I'm trying to ease him into it, but I don't want to, you know, get him
traumatize
like,
him.
Yeah, too much. I mean, he's got time to do that. And I figure he's got time for his friends and sleep. That was what sleepovers is about.
Right. Yeah,
but now I think all the kids just watch all the clips on TikTok now. I don't watch them together.
I don't know if you remember doing this. When I was a kid, there was always that one kid who had HBO. And we would set up sleepovers based on when movies with nudity. yeah. Ron. It's like, oh, Animal House is on at 10 o'clock Friday.
Yeah.
And he would ask his mom, can the guys sleep over? You know, so I'm not saying your kid is doing that. I'm just saying.
No, but well, he's got a phone. He listens to podcasts. So that's the thing. He listens to like more comedy adult podcasts. So I'm proud about that.
Okay.
He hasn't repeated the words yet. So he's
George
he's,
Carlin he's or still Bill Hicks.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
This is fun. John, pardon me, John Egan. Conrad, I need a cough drop. What am I doing here? Do we have a pharmacy here, don't we? The Nightlight Pharmacy?
The Nightlight Pharmacy? I think it's closed.
I'm just saying some of the bigger radio stations have their own pharmacy. Yeah. Is that too much to ask for? John Egan is my guest. This has been really fun getting to know you. I want to bring Bill on because you guys are both comedians.
And yeah.
You said you've never met Bill. So Bill's a great guy, too. He is one of the Chicago Comedy All-Stars performing in Port Washington tomorrow night at Memories Ballroom. I don't know what it's like, but that sounds like a really cool venue. I'd like to welcome now to Nightlight for the first time, Bill Gorgo. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Pete. Oh. John, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, sir. We're actually a bitter rivals. That's why I didn't say
oh,
it.
Oh, wouldn't that be funny?
Oh, we hate each other.
Secretly hated each
forever years. I just was joking.
Bill, it's good to see you.
I will get you yet.
How you doing, buddy?
Calm down, everybody. Calm down.
Yeah. It's all fun. How are you?
I'm big for my age, actually. Other than that, you know, old. How about you?
Bill, I'm well, and one of the best things about doing this show, I get to talk about entertainment on a nightly basis, which I love, but is also meeting, for the first time, comedians like John, but also reconnecting with comedians like you, who I haven't seen in decades. You know, I was, in L.A. for years, and now I've been in Wisconsin for over a decade, and I feel like, I have so much to ask you after we cover Memories Ballroom tomorrow night. I was on the road with you 1 week. I'd like to go over that, too, so saddle in, buddy.
What happens on the road stays on the road.
No, but nothing weird happened, at least not between us. You did disappear for 3 hours. I'm not going to ask you about that. But no, we worked North Dakota.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Grand Forks.
How can you forget?
Yeah.
North Dakota. There's nothing else to remember.
North Dakota.
Being there.
Yeah, it's a weird... Actually, Grand Forks had a great comedy room. I think we worked the Westward Ho, and the guy that ran it really knew what he was doing. It was a fun comedy room, and it was full time. And that town is smaller than Green Bay, so maybe there's hope for Green Bay, John.
There should be.
But Bill and I did that, and I'll just share one thing that Bill taught me on the road. And I said, what do you do when you get too tired? I don't know if you remember this, Bill, but you said, here's what I do. I crank the heat in the car. It was the middle of winter, by the way, too. He says, I crank the heat in the car, then I'll pull over to a rest area, and I'll go to sleep. And when the car loses all the heat, I'll wake up. And that worked for you, Bill. I was worried I would freeze to death, but that seemed to work for you. That's a great tip.
Freezing to death is a nice way to go. If it happens, it happens.
In North Dakota, yeah.
And then you don't have to drive to Minot the next night, which is okay.
There's another comic, a Wisconsin comic, Fred Klett.
Yeah.
Milwaukee guy. Yeah. You ever work with Fred, Bill?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Great guy. We worked, I think that was my first week ever on the road. I pull in to Minot, the bar there. The only car in the lot that's not a pickup truck is Fred's like Mercury Disable or something like that.
Yeah.
And then my car, and the rest were pickup trucks. The only two women in the club were waitresses.
Okay.
And they're talking to Fred and me to get our information and take drink orders, and everybody is looking over like these two dandies coming in from the city. It was horrible.
Yeah. You didn't wear flannel to just fit in?
I knew nothing about Minot, John, when I went there, except their slogan, Bill, I don't know if you remember this, is on the billboard when you pull into town, why not Minot?
My slogan for them is, I might not go back, because once you've been there once... Twice doesn't make any sense.
You've seen it all. Exactly. All right. Bill Gorgo is here, folks. We're going to talk after the news. We're going to ask Bill about New Year's Eve in Port Washington tomorrow night. A great show taking place at Memories Ballroom. And then we'll get into some more stand-up comedy stuff. John, it was great meeting you. Thanks for making the drive all the way from the suburbs, right?
Yeah.
DePere.
Yeah. Well, when I pull over, I'm going to let the heat go out. Going over the bridge from Green Bay, and then I'll just go home.
I think you'll be okay.
Yeah.
All right. We are coming right back with more comedy talk and more fun stuff, and we're going to read your text, too. What is your New Year's resolution, folks? Lay it on us. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Parts of New Zealand already welcoming 2025. Ahead of the New Year's arrival in New York, where more than a million people are expected to brave the rain, security is tight.
The NYPD expanding the area blocked off this year in wake of the ISIS-inspired machete attack at a police checkpoint 2 years ago. Drones, bomb-sniffing dogs, and officers in plain clothes will be deployed. The police commissioner is promising a massive presence following the recent attack at a Christmas market in Germany.
ABC's Lionel Moise. Official New Year's Eve celebrations have been canceled across South Korea, that nation launching safety inspections on Boeing 737-800 planes after Sunday's crash killed 179 people. A state funeral for former President Jimmy Carter will be held at the Washington National Cathedral on January 9th after he lies in state at the U.S. Capitol. But first, mourners in Georgia will have a chance to pay respects this weekend at a viewing at Carter's Presidential Library. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Marquette basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. The Marquette Golden Eagles are on the road in Rhode Island tonight to take on the Providence Friars. Marquette now 11-2 for the season. Head coach Shaka Smart on being ranked 8th in the nation again this week.
In sports, it comes down to what color you're wearing, you know, and which side you're on and which perspective you have. You know, what I tell our guys is we're going to control the controllables, and that doesn't change regardless of the results out there.
NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks in Chicago against the Bulls. A recap on those games coming up later tonight. NFL, the Packers reviewing the tape of their 27-25 loss to the Vikings Sunday. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
I thought there was a lot of things within our own control in terms of playing with fundamentals and discipline that we did not do a very good job of, and that was disappointing. It just was sloppy football.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Former President Jimmy Carter passed away this past weekend at the age of 100. Many remember Carter for his decency, endless service to humankind, which included his involvement with Habitat for Humanity. But what most people don't know is that he was also related to Motown Records founder Berry Gordy. Gordy said that in 1978, his sister Esther did some digging into their family tree. Gordy says he was filled with shock and pride when he found out that he and Carter were actually third cousins. There's as much drama off-screen surrounding actress Blake Lively and actor-director Justin Baldoni as there was on-screen for their film It Ends With Us. Following Lively's lawsuit claiming Baldoni sexually assaulted her and launched a smear campaign against her, Baldoni is filing a countersuit claiming Lively and her team launched a smear campaign against him. Does anything good ever come from a Hollywood smear campaign? Oh yeah, publicity. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be cloudy with a few scattered light snow showers possible here today. Our high in the low 30s with wind out of the northwest at around 10 to 20. Tonight, we're going to drop down into the upper teens. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high of 22. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, we lead into Civic Media's New Year's Eve celebration with Lou Regani, with highlights from my appearances on some of your favorite Civic Media shows. Happy New Year, everyone.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, on Nightlight, we are only here for an hour. And then Lou Regani takes over and kicks off New Year's Eve here at Civic Media with his great, he's got all the crooners. He's going to be, it's a perfect way to ring in the new year. And then on New Year's Day from 6 to 8 here at Nightlight, we will have a best of show with Terry Barr, who will be here for a compilation of our Bar Band Friday Night segment, bringing you new music like she does every week. Two full hours of that on New Year's Day. Right now on the show, I have an old friend of mine, very funny guy, one of the Chicago Comedy All-Stars. You can see him tomorrow night in Port Washington on New Year's Eve. I think I would like that to be a destination, Bill, for everybody to start hitting Port Washington on New Year's Eve. It's a beautiful town right on the lake. You're going to be there tomorrow night.
New Year's Eve is New Year's Eve, but they do shows there about once a month through most of the year.
Oh, okay.
And frequently it's the Chicago All-Star Comedy All-Stars. Our friend Jimmy McHugh, that's his organization, and he circulates about 15, 20 comics through the room. And when they do it Chicago All-Star style, there's four headliners on the stage. We each do 15 to 20 minutes, take a break, and then we all go on stage together and kind of do a little riffing.
Fun.
It's a lot of fun.
So who else is on the show? You got you, Jim McHugh.
Tim Walko.
Very funny.
And the three of us, of course, go back to the 80s along with you. We got swept up in that tide. And joining us for the evening is Olivia Witt from Madison, Wisconsin.
So, a Madison Comedy All-Star. There you go.
We can mix and match. All-Star for a little flavor.
That's fantastic.
We're going to balance out the ticket. We've got two Bears fans, two Packer fans. So just to keep the fighting.
Oh, there you go. Boy, McHugh is a Packer fan, right? Even though he's a lifelong. Does it surprise you, Conrad? You'll get a kick out of this. There are a ton of Packer fans in Chicago. What do you make of that, Bill?
Desperation. I mean, if you started out young as a Bears fan, when's your breaking point? The 70s, right. The 90s, the aughts? I'm close. I am close. I'm looking around. I'm shopping. My feeling is, when you're looking forward once again to following your team in the off season when they're not playing, there's something wrong with that.
That's how I am every year. I'm like, I'm already thinking about the draft in week six and free agency. And it's just not fair because we're good fans, but the organization's terrible.
Three of the four teams the Bears managed to beat so far this year, and so far, who are we kidding? They got one game left against the Packers. But three of the four teams they beat are ahead of them in the draft. At this point, don't you kind of wish they'd have lost those three games too?
Oh, man. You know what I wish, Bill? I wish I could be in Port Washington tomorrow night. All right. You guys have this great show. Can people still get tickets?
I believe so.
Okay.
If you haven't made a plan for New Year's Eve, seriously consider Port Washington. I've been at Memories before. This is dinner and a show and dancing. And according to the website, the fun doesn't end until 1:45 p.m. on the 1st. I think that's a typo. I think they'll close the doors at 1:45 a.m. But who knows? It's Port Washington.
Anything goes.
They might bring pajamas. I'll be leaving while the leaving is good. But it's a great room. And the food. Honestly, I hope the owner isn't listening, but I would do the gig for the fried chicken.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The best fried chicken I've ever had, and I've been around. That's when you go to a strange town, that's how you strike up a conversation. Where's the best barbecue? Where's the best fried chicken?
You know, it's funny you say that. And let's talk about that, because you're like, you were already kind of a big shot in Chicago when I started doing comedy. And, you know, you're still going strong. What do you attribute your ability to be funny to after all these years? Do you have to work harder at it as you get older? You have to temper your, you know, we all get crabby as we get older. How do you stay funny, Bill?
I think people are born funny and then they forget how. Mm. And comedians are just the people who manage to not forget how.
That's
Everybody laughs at babies. They're just silly. Two-year-olds are hysterical. But by the time people are seven, they're just pushing each other and
they're
bullying. And, yeah, they're hacks. Street jokes, just bad stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Impressions, juggling.
So when I mentioned this before we went to the news, you and I worked in North Dakota at Grand Forks. I can't remember the name of the place. What is it?
Was it Michigan or was that in Michigan?
Grand Forks.
It was like a saloon.
Yeah.
1850s.
The Westward Ho. The Westward Ho. Yeah.
The Westward Ho was Miss Kitty.
Wait, what's that?
I said the Westward Ho was Miss Kitty.
Oh dear. Okay, Conrad, we can bleep that. I'm kidding, Bill. I just want to share this. To put in perspective, when you said you go to a town and you check out the food, I ran to Hardee's one night. I think I took your car because you drove us there all the way from Chicago. And I said, I'm going to Hardee's. It was like the only place open in Grand Forks. I go, what do you want, Bill? Do you want anything? And you said, just get me $5 worth of food.
It's Hardee's.
It's Hardee's.
Seriously.
But like now, that would be like 15 or 20 bucks. Like, do you believe you could eat a meal for $5 back in like the early 90s or mid 90s? It's insane. And that was the fine cuisine.
And yet what we're making for those gigs has remained exactly the same.
Right.
Well, when people talk about minimum wage at their jobs, I think, oh, you should try stand-up comedy.
Oh, my God, I know.
Those rates haven't gone up in decades.
I want to ask you about New Year's Eve because I remember it's been years since I was a working stand-up, but I remember doing New Year's Eve shows and looking out at the crowd and the clock hits midnight and all these couples are hugging and kissing. And then I'm like on the stage with another comic who I barely know. It's like, to me, those are the most depressing gigs. Do you like working New Year's Eve?
No, no comic in his right mind really looks forward to New Year's Eve. I took this because Memories is a great room.
Yeah.
They have a great audience. The food is outstanding and we're off stage by probably 10:30.
Oh, that's pretty
cool.
So
we can get in the car and head home before the drunks get back on the road, which is smart. But I've had the money is great on New Year's Eve because it has to be, or no one in their right mind would do it.
Interesting. Have you ever had a bad show on New Year's Eve?
You want this story? I'll tell you the worst.
Absolutely.
New Year's Eve ever. And it was like my first headlining New Year's Eve, a four-figure check. I was pumped. And also I didn't have to do the countdown, which is also great.
Yeah.
I get there early in the day. The woman who's running it, clearly this was her first New Year's Eve. I said, how are we going to do this? And she said, well, first of all, you have to decide if you want to work on the stage in front of the band's equipment, which is about a foot from the edge of the stage, and no seats, no tables on the dance floor. So the closest table, if you were on stage, about 45, 50 feet away. Or you can work off the dance floor, but no lights and no stage. I said, well, I'd rather do radio than the Grand Canyon. I decided to do it off the dance floor. Then I said, and the show, what time is the show? She said, well, it's 8:00, right after dinner. I said, well, if dinner isn't over, which comes first? Is it when dinner's over or at 8:00? She says, no, dinner will be over at 8:00. We're starting at 8:00. I said, but if dinner isn't, and now she's getting mad. Oh, no, it's, of course, 8:00. I'm sitting there in the dark on the dance floor, ready to start the show as salads go out. Just terrible. Now,
can you run the dressings by me one more time, please? Yeah.
Halfway through the show, the main course starts getting dropped. What can you think would be the worst main course to have to perform while they're eating?
Something crunchy. I don't know. Tacos.
All you can eat crab legs. Seriously, if they were silent crab legs, they can't look up.
Right.
They're watching me like this. Yeah, we can hear you, but we're But they could barely hear me because 150 people cracking crab legs all at the same time sounds like there's an earthquake just a brewing about 10 miles away.
Oh, you know, that's great.
Crunch, 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 crunch. And I'm in the dark. So I've got maybe three tables in front that have pity on me, and they're eating as best they can, but no one can laugh. They're stuffing their face. Crab legs might run out. It's the only show. I went into my closing bit like this, watching the watch. Right. And I didn't finish it. I go, oh, I am so sorry, but my time is up, and I'm going to have to leave you wondering how that ends.
Oh, my God.
Happy New Year. And I left. I had the check in my pocket, stopped at the bank on the way home.
Where was that? But
it was somewhere downstate Illinois at a hotel that was next to a casino. And they had all just opened up, so it was all new to them, and they thought they knew what they were doing.
Oh, God. That's hilarious.
No clue what they were doing.
My guest is Bill Gorgo. He is one of the Chicago Comedy All-Stars. You can check him out tomorrow night, New Year's Eve. If you don't have plans yet, folks, check out Memories Ballroom in Port Washington. It's going to be a great
show. Four comedians, headliners.
Yeah.
Tim McHugh voted the funniest man in America a few years back.
That's pretty good.
Olivia Witt, one of the funniest people in Madison, Wisconsin, according to her website. Jimmy and I, we'll be driving up together trying to figure out who's the funniest one in the car. And I think I got a pretty good chance.
That'll be jockeying for position the whole way. all right. So, Bill, I want to ask you, like, I remember, you know, you were part of a group in Chicago. You know, when you have that many comics in a city that size, there's different cliques. And I think everybody got along for the most part. You guys had this writing group. No kidding. Okay. That was part of my question. I was lucky enough to be invited a couple times, and I don't feel like I put my best foot forward. I felt like, you know, what I'm getting at is, obviously you like writing collaboratively. I felt like I needed to hash things out first on my own. I felt like I just kind of watched you guys, and I was sort of, my head was going back and forth because you guys had a rhythm. Do you still write comedy that way? And do you prefer to do it that way?
I don't, but I still host a writing group. You're exercising a muscle.
Yeah.
You know, I tell people all the time, if you saw, if you go to the gym, you see people lifting barbells, they're not lifting it just on the off chance they're going to run into a barbell and need to lift it on the street. They're trying to get stronger. It's just an exercise. And sometimes finishing other people's jokes is as good an exercise for your brain as finishing your own. But I tend to be pretty much a self-writer.
Right.
So I'll throw things out at a writing session just to see if there's an obvious door that somebody else can spot that I can go through.
And, right.
You know, I look at my act, and I've probably got, anytime I do a show, I probably got 5, 6, 7 punchlines that were suggested to me by comics.
You know, right.
That's normal. You do a joke and it works, and you add a punchline and it works, and you add another punchline and it works. And then someone comes along and gives you yet another. Well, why not?
Absolutely. That's a great answer. Yeah. Cause it was, I mean, I love hanging out with comics. I haven't been a working comic in decades, but they're still my favorite people to hang out with. So I totally see why you would go. And if I was invited tomorrow, I would go just to be around comics, even though I would not maybe have much to contribute, but
I will keep that in mind when the next one rolls around.
Just send me an airline.
Someone asked
ticket.
Me the other day why I became a comedian. I said, well, I got tired of driving up and down the same old strip, and I wanted to find a new place where the kids were hip. And comedy was it. I mean, you're absolutely right. Hanging out with comics is why I stayed a comic.
There you go. Man, it's good to have you on the show, Bill. We'll have a couple more minutes.
Thanks
with
for
Bill.
Being right.
Don't go away though. We got to do a very quick thing. We'll have a few more minutes. We'll wrap up with Bill and get one more plug in for Memories Ballroom tomorrow night in Port Washington. This is
I can tell you my New Year's resolution.
Oh yes. Thank you for reminding me. Conrad, have you thought about yours yet?
I told you.
You can, but you were a little vague. We'll get both of them when we come back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network.
a new choice. Madison's real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know, now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph is a holiday classic, and there's a Wisconsin connection. Maury Laws composed music for the animated show in 1964. He continued arranging hundreds of songs from his Appleton home after leaving New York 20 years later. During that time, Laws created one quirky pop song. Do you know what it is? The answer coming up.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Emily Locke with the Oshkosh Museum on holiday traditions around Rudolph. Laws worked for the TV production company behind the show and also wrote music for Frosty the Snowman. And about the silly song he composed. Yes, itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. Laws died in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on as a wonderful slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Sam Davison, producer of John and Gordy in the Morning on 92.7 WMDX. Tis the season for leftovers and stretchy pants. May your gifts be many and your returns and exchanges be few. And remember, nothing says Merry Christmas like cold hard cash. Happy holidays.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Steady Eddie checks in from the 608. Pardon me, I'm still dealing with my little issue here. Steady Eddie checks in and says, Pete, for the new year, I am determined and do firmly resolve to keep Nightlight with Pete Schwabba 6 to 8 weeknights. Thank you, Steady Eddie, for the plug. Burning bright on my radio. And furthermore, I will also resolve with resoluteness and without pause to eat so many Christmas cookies that in 2025, I turn into Santa Claus. Merry Happy New Year, ho, ho, ho. Steadfast Edward. Steady Eddie, thank you, buddy. I hope you have a great 2025. And those are all the New Year's resolutions we've gotten tonight have been great. We will be back Thursday night live, folks, on January 2nd with film producer Marsha Polk and director Antonio Polk to talk about their film Angels in the Rye. They will be here in studio. And then we have some paranormal talk with Todd Michaels, which we always like to do as well. So right now we have a couple more minutes with very funny Chicago comedy all-star Bill Gorgo. Bill, you've been around a while and you've seen so many comics. Who do you laugh at today? Who's a younger comic now that you think is funny?
Nobody.
Come on.
You know, it's hard for comedians to watch comics for two reasons. First of all, we don't want to get their funny clogged up in our head.
Interesting.
Too much. There are comics that if you watch them for 2 minutes, you start trying to imitate their style just unconsciously. So we have to be a little bit protective. I love seeing clips on Facebook because you're in and out quickly.
Yeah.
And that helps enormously. But the other thing is, it's hard for us to just laugh. We want to analyze. What's he doing there? How's he doing it? How did he get that laugh?
Right.
What's the trick? We've lived behind the curtain.
Exactly.
We know the tricks. So it's like a magician watching a magician. We might be very interested, but we're seldom shocked and surprised.
Right. So, all right. So having said that, there's no one like Chappelle, Nate Bargatze, or
I've really gotten to enjoy Nate lately. I think he's over the years, his voice has evolved to a perfect point.
Very just well said.
Sort of, I don't even have to finish my sentences anymore.
Right. He's got like all this street cred built up. You're right. He doesn't have to finish. And the guy does not really tell jokes. He starts, he'll say, my wife went to this, and he's already getting laughed. Like, the guy's got that much credibility built up with his audiences.
And lately, I've just been indulging myself. One of the people you probably worked with over the years, Greg Warren, out of St. Louis. I don't know if
I know the name.
Greg.
Yeah.
He's got two longer specials on YouTube that I just enjoy the heck out of them. They're wonderful.
Know.
And again, what I look for when I'm watching a comedian is not the jokes, really. It's the authenticity and the consistency.
Yeah.
Is the person who talks to me at the beginning is the same person talking to me in the middle and at the end. Anybody can get up and just read jokes to an audience.
Yeah.
That's not what stand-up comedy is about. It's about revealing yourself and what you think is funny. And Greg does it extraordinarily well.
I've always, and it's coming back to me now talking to you, I've always loved your professorial takes on stand-up comedy. You're very good at just breaking it down, and I just love that, Bill. That's just great to hear again.
These days, I probably teach comedy more than I perform it. That's the truth.
All right. It's come to that time, and I appreciate your time, Bill, and check out Memories Ballroom tomorrow night, folks. A New Year's Eve show. Tim Wacko, Jimmy McHugh,
Olivia Witt
and Bill Gorgo, my guest right now, will be there tomorrow night. Four headliners for the price of one. What better way to ring in the new year? Check out Memories Ballroom, I would say, and see if they have tickets, because it's going to be a great show.
You can always record Lou Regani. I'm just saying. Listen when you get home.
Listen.
And say hi to Lou for me. He's a great guy.
Oh, you know, he's fantastic. Oh, yeah. Love his show. Great. It's just a talk about a throwback and so much fun. He was on my show months ago, and I got to have him back on.
Huge comedy fan.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. He is. Oh, that's so cool that you know Lou, Bill. All right, Bill. So before we let you get out of here, we've got about 30 seconds to a minute. New Year's resolution, my friend.
Same one it was last year. Make it to next New Year's. That's the whole, keep it simple. At my age, that's a choice. And this is the first New Year's resolution I actually achieved in years. So I think I'm just going to do it over.
I think that's great. I love the simplicity. Yeah. And I hope you make it too, Bill, because then you could be back on the show next year.
Man.
Awesome.
Good seeing you, Pete.
You too, buddy. Knock him dead tomorrow. All right.
Brian.
That's Bill Gorgo. Check out Memories Ballroom tomorrow night. That is a fun show, folks. I know all those guys. I don't know Olivia Witt, but I've heard great things, and it's going to be a fantastic show. So if you're still making your plans, check it out. Conrad, do you have any more? You going to hone in? Are you going to specify anything regarding your resolution? I actually like Bill's a lot. That's a great one. Get through the year.
Yeah.
Be a lot. And even you don't have to be older to say that. Like, a lot of stuff can happen.
You know, it's just going to be the same thing. It's just
all right.
You know,
I'm putting you on the spot. Yeah, this is your first night back in like a week, and here I am holding your feet to the fire. I know what you're going to do. You're going to check out John's website.
Oh, I'm going to comment on everything.
It's really
this,
cool.
This sucks.
No, you're going to love it. It's all like Wisconsin sports stuff. It's right up your alley. I would like to thank my guests, John Egan, Bill Gorgo. Thank you for all your texts about your New Year's resolutions. Hopefully you guys check out Lou Regani tomorrow night on the network here. And then our Terry Bar special on New Year's Day, 2 hours of Bar Band Friday. And we will be back live with director Antonio Polk and Marsha Polk to talk about their film Angels in the Rye. This has been fun. Great way to, it's our eve of New Year's Eve show.
It is.
That's kind of what we're doing. It's been fun. So we will be back Thursday night. I hope you have a great, safe holiday. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us here on behalf of Conrad, the lovable producer. This is Pete Schwab. Good night, Wisconsin.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our old friend and colleague, Mr. Luke Mathers, will be here with a Tuesday tangent from Luke, and we'll celebrate the new year. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The
The Todd Albaugh Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources, just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family, because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Here's what 2025 sounds like. At least in Auckland, New Zealand, where the new year has already arrived, celebrations and fireworks as the clock struck midnight. Here at home, a massive security presence in New York's Times Square ahead of the ball drop. A U.S. team of investigators has arrived in South Korea to assist in the investigation of the Jeju Airlines crash that left 179 dead. Pilot and ABC News contributor John Nance says the investigation will take time.
As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised to see a final report take a year. By the same token, we will know very rapidly what some of the major factors were.
Respiratory illnesses like COVID-19, flu, and RSV are surging nationwide, with New Hampshire seeing very high activity, according to the CDC. Vaccination rates across the country remain low. President-elect Trump expressing strong support for House Speaker Mike Johnson keeping his leadership job, praising him as a good, hardworking, religious man. This is ABC News.